talk about my reaction, or you want to talk about
I mean, the thing about this that I want to try and get back to here, the initial CNS, at this point, it's the Cyber News Service, which is Brent Bozell and his attack, ERSAT's AstroTurf News Service. AstroTurf, Whitman's Leaves of Grass, we have Leaves of Grass, we have AstroTurf. The hit piece went out on, I forget the exact day, but it was about 5:30, and I have to confess I now hate the Internet. I saw this from our PR person and tracked it till midnight as it clicked its way across the web, and with the blogs picking it up, the right-wing blogs, the attack machine swung into action, and then, of course, the comments on this. This metastasized overnight to the following morning with it's not explicitly, the subtext was gay, the subtext was perverts, but the overtext was this so-called war against Christians, and the context we're familiar with Piss Christ and the Brooklyn Show of modern art equals sacrilege, and that was the knee-jerk reaction to the Wanderovich piece, which caused a firestorm, which caused the Secretary of the Smithsonian to make the decision that this firestorm was getting out of control, particularly as it moved its way through the highly political channels of Washington and Capitol Hill, that we were getting political as well as cultural pressure. He made the decision against the opposition of people at the National Portrait Gallery to remove the show, to remove the Wanderovich video, to create a fire break that would allow the rest of the exhibition to last.
Worked real well.
The fire break would be against, in terms of that the show would then be supported, something that we're watching carefully. I regret that the decision was made, to my mind, too hastily, without sufficient planning, without sufficient attention to our allies. I was, as did the director of the National Portrait Gallery, wanted a more of a fight, at best a fighting, or worst a fighting retreat, in which we would give our supporters a chance to, a position to, from which to rally. Sadly, that didn't happen.
And I just want to say that in a perverse way, I see signs of progress in all of this. Because in the old days, and I distinctly remember 1989 in the original Mapplethorpe brouhaha, all you had to do was point out the queer, right? And that was enough to get everybody riled up and to pull the image down. Now they have to invent the red herring of religious offense to attack the show, because flat, straight-out homophobia is a But flat, straight-out homophobia is a politics of diminishing returns in America. And that's actually a positive message. And so they created this fiction of religious offense. Anybody who goes to the website will see that the Catholic League has excoriated the Jewish community for their mistreatment of Mel Gibson.
It's more than that. I mean, they repeat the blood libel.
I mean, they're anti-Semites. Let's just call it what it is. And to have figures, national representatives, aligning themselves with an anti-Semitic right-wing fringe group and then dictating public policy from that, I'm wondering what's happening to our country. And I'm wondering where the progressives, where the left is in battling this. And I'm wondering why we are once again being offered as raw meat to their minions. I'm tired of that.
The element here in terms of this whole thing that I will say, taking a pragmatic view of it, which is not always possible for the last couple of weeks, but is that the exhibition is up. The exhibition is still viable. And what I'm concerned about now, having gone through the process over the video, is I'm concerned with the existential threat to the museum. I'm not concerned with what PPOW does. I think it's great the amount of attention the Wanderovich video is now getting, but I am seriously concerned with the ongoing deeper threat, and you can pull in your own historical analogy from Germany in the 1930s. And I've been a close observer of progressive politics in America for the last 40 years. And the people on the left side of the aisle are always enforcing ideological purity on each other in ways that allows our enemies to run over us with a tank. And I think at some point, come on, you can do more than that. I think at some point there has to be an element of almost a kind of pragmatic assessment of how we want to fight back against this. And we would love for Hideseek to do what it attempts to do, which is to crystallize a presence which becomes the basis for an opposition against the politics that we abhor.
And I want to say that as abhorrent as I thought the decision was to pull the piece, and I've been on record as saying that I thought it was stupid, and I do think it was stupid, it put the museum in the crosshairs of a cultural war that it had no business right embedding itself into. But at the same time, I am, like David, very much worried about the possible chilling effect, indeed the probable chilling effect that this will have on subsequent exhibitions. An exhibition that was intended to break the back of a blacklist has had the paradoxical effect, at least at this juncture, who knows what will happen in the next couple of months, of reinforcing that blacklist. And other institutions now will look twice at the prospect of doing an exhibition with a sexuality theme, precisely because of what has happened. It's our job, therefore,
yes,
to make this exhibition and other exhibitions like it, right, so celebrated that though we criticize the removal of the video, we also credit the institution that made the first move against the blacklist, the National Portrait Gallery, with the fervor of its beliefs, the idea that it would, as it explore the extension of civil liberties in the United States, as it has for African Americans, as it has for women, and really credit the National Portrait Gallery, as much as I disagree with the Smithsonian Central, and I do, that credit the National Portrait Gallery with doing the exhibition at all. I spent 15 years trying to do this, and they picked it up.
This is the second major media event in which censorship in recent years has become a major issue. The other being the censorship of the Danish cartoonist Islamic Images. To what extent do you see these two things parallel or not parallel?
Well, I think there's a general fear of free speech. One of the things that we got in the emails, in particular, that came in from the public is dear Snotnose, Snothead. You know, you wouldn't dare to put up. This is I'm paraphrasing. Snothead was accurate. You perverts wouldn't dare to put up those pictures of Muhammad, would you? To which I would respond, yes, I would. And I think that there's this element of, again, we're dealing throughout the theme of the show with the element of Manichaeanism, the current political dynamic. And it's not unlike the 1890s when an embattled America felt itself slipping culturally, diplomatically, and militarily, leading for a kind of revamped and revivified masculinity. This element where you're not going to permit the other to be dealt with in public, whether that's through satire, caricature, or admiring homages in sort of grand manner portraiture. And what we try to do is to again, there is no, to my mind, there is no question that cannot be asked. And I just think we need to ask it, and I think we did in this exhibition.
And I think we are almost united in opposition to the Taliban, right, and their destruction of religious imagery in Afghanistan, the destruction, of course, of the famous statues. But
yeah, why didn't we go to war over that?
But we have an American Taliban that we haven't called as such, right? an American Taliban that is very much invested in the destruction of images they don't like, in contravention, right, of freedom of speech and, of course, of the separation of church and state enshrined into our Constitution. And it is appalling to me that our representatives align themselves with that American Taliban and nobody seems to say anything.
I think that's it. One more. What's that?
And it's absolutely true. And, of course, it's also been dispiriting to watch institutions clucking their tongues at the Smithsonian and decrying its weak-kneed politics when I know for a fact that those very institutions were ones that I approached about doing a similar exhibition and said, absolutely not.
We got time for one more in the front.
I was at the meeting last year, the first fundraising at Jonathan's house, and I remember when I left there with so much material and having bookseller, I was calling the next day to people about what's going to happen in the catalog, et cetera, et cetera, including my son, it's been all so involved. And I just wanted to say, I agree with you completely. This is what's happened today. But I'm reading Martin Newman's Stonewall and a couple of other things, and we look back and think about the fact, I remember saying, this is the Smithsonian. Can you imagine this amazing show is going to be at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. for this whole nation to see at their choosing? And I think that's key. And I think the other part of it, of course, you're absolutely right, especially with what's going to be happening now. Where are we going and where are we going to find our voice? I'm going to add one negative part. Tell me why there's been criticism and how you feel about it, about the lack of women in the show.
David's positions were always going to get criticism.
That wasn't a criticism. We did our best.
Yeah.
I mean, there was, over above homophobia, there's a pervasive problem of sexism. That there weren't that many women artists
let me be very clear that we worked very hard and thought a great deal. And for those of you who've seen the exhibition, we're hearing a lot of criticism that there aren't a lot of women in the show from people who actually haven't seen the show. If you actually see the show, it's actually a slightly different story. It's not 50-50, but it's, 35. I'm not good at math. Thank you. Thank you. That's why I'm not a historian. And what we wanted to do was to do directly a canonical show. The point of the show was precisely to take the canonical central images in American art history and to show the import of same-sex desire to those images. Right. As a consequence, there were a number of figures we could have shown, women artists, but because they are not considered canonical, they fell outside of that rubric. But we do have, a large number of women in the exhibition.
Anyway, I think...
I wondered if the director of the National Portrait Gallery might be in the house tonight.
I am.
I'd like to send a direct message to you and your boss to put that video back. It's an outrageous thing you've done. And absolutely unconscionable. Unconscionable act, and when I read your form letter saying that it was a deletion, my heart broke. So I'm not buying, it's great that Jonathan and David Ward are out there telling us how wonderful this show is, but let's not get diverted from what a threat queer culture hangs from, which is people like yourself and Clough can wipe out all that.
is that Jonathan and David have been stressing is something that we all believe in, and I'm going to talk about the video in just a minute, which is to simply get this project going and to get it on the calendar and to get the extraordinary financial support and loans that made it possible took a lot of positive energy. We need positive energy in this time in the United States. The last couple of weeks, we've had negative energy of all kinds. It's very debilitating for everybody who's unhappy, miffed, concerned, worried about the future of the country. It's been unhappy for us. As far as the specific decision is concerned, it was the Secretary's. One part of it, which is very tough, is that this is such a big exhibition. There are well over 100 works remaining in it, and they will remain for the schedule of the exhibition. Video for us was a challenge because of the architecture of the space. We just did not have room to put proper video installation that people could pause. Now, you're looking as if you don't agree, but have you seen the exhibition? Please come. Please come. And that's part of the problem. If you know Smithsonian museums, people pulse through them. There's crowds. The video itself, because of the right-wing criticism, was going to become a sort of sick attraction. Oh, let's just see how awful it was. We couldn't do a video theater. We could only do a kiosk, which people would be passing by and so forth. Was it a great decision? Absolutely not. Is it one that we're happy about? No. Were there political considerations and realities for the larger Smithsonian? Remember, we're not a freestanding museum, the Portrait Gallery. We have a parent institution, just like university museums do. And sometimes you don't get what you want entirely, but you do get extraordinary support and visibility. And the show and the theme and the works that are in it and Wanarovich are getting extraordinary visibility. I think that's the positive energy that we've all got to reclaim in this tough time.
Thank you all for coming. We appreciate it. And I would like to see all of you. The show has roughly 2 months to run. And we look forward to seeing you all in Washington.
And may I thank Jason? May I thank this institution, which is a breath of fresh air in New York.